those sanctions against Iranian oil may not be so great for the global economy.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Iran is feeling the effects of U.S. sanctions over its nuclear program. The International Energy Agency says Iranian oil exports have fallen to a 10-year low. That may be good news for foreign policy types in Washington, but perhaps not so good for the global economy, as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
The IEA says that Iran's oil production has fallen by 50,000 barrels a day as U.S. sanctions begin to bite. But that's nothing, the agency says. By the time the European Union's embargo also comes into effect this summer, Iranian output could fall much further, perhaps by as much as 1 million barrels a day. This will pile unprecedented pressure on Iran. Oil accounts for 80% of its exports and provides one half of its government revenues. But, says Nick McGregor, an oil analyst with brokers Redmayne Bentley, the dwindling Iranian output is raising fears about global oil supplies.
If anything major were to happen to disrupt another significant supplier, then there is the question at the moment as to whether or not there would be adequate supply to meet what is, even in these tough economic times, record demand.
Oil prices have already risen by 20% since last December. Some economists fear further price hikes could derail the U.S. recovery. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Yesterday, we told you the national average for a gallon of regular unleaded gasoline was $3.81. Well, guess what? Now it's $3.82. And as you may have heard, we spoke with a mechanic here in Los Angeles named Rebecca Flyshaker about some fuel efficiency tips. One of the things she said was that using premium gas would get you better mileage in the long run. Well, many of you wrote to tell us you disagreed with that advice, so we sent Marketplace's Sarah Gardner out to do a little fact-checking.
Took me less than 2 minutes to find somebody filling up with premium. The first driver said her little BMW required it, so she had to pay the $4.56 per gallon price tag. Same story from Dale Ingram, who pulled in minutes later in his 2002 Porsche.
So yeah, we're at $69 for 15 gallons of gas. It's getting kind of crazy. I'm still kind of going, oh boy, am I really doing this?
But Consumer Reports' Jeff Bartlett says if your owner's manual doesn't say your car requires premium, even if it recommends premium, don't waste the 20 cents per gallon extra.
Premium gasoline has some theoretical benefits, but in the real world and in Consumer Reports' testing, we haven't seen that played out.
Benefits like more horsepower, less wear on your engine, or better mileage.
After all, manufacturers are spending millions of dollars to eke out just one or two more miles per gallon for their vehicles. If all they had to do is tell you to choose a different nozzle at the gas station, they would.
But a lot of drivers in everyday cars still believe in the power of premium. The driver of a beat-up 94 Chrysler minivan insisted to me her van shifts gears more easily because of it. But at today's prices, she's sticking with regular. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in global trading this morning, up 0.7% in Tokyo and just slightly higher in London. A respected J.P. Morgan analyst in Hong Kong is getting some attention this morning for saying that China's economy is already in a, quote, hard landing with car sales, cement and steel production down. It's not a debate anymore. It's a fact, the analyst says. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 16 points to close at 13,194.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
It's March Madness time, which means productivity is about to plummet for those who love watching college basketball, and gambling is about to skyrocket because of those NCAA brackets that everybody's filling out and betting money on. LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus is here to talk with us about gambling. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, what are the numbers, David? How many of us gamble, whether that be lottery or casinos or whatever?
The answer is most of us. About 86% of Americans gamble at least once a year. That's talking going to casinos, March Madness, playing the ponies. About 16% of us gamble once a week.
And does that number change when the economy gets better or when it gets worse?
We see the number of gamblers go up as the economy goes down. Mm. And there's a reason for that. I mean, on the one hand, people are kind of looking for the brass ring to come their way. On the other hand, it's a matter of proximity and availability. In other words, more and more municipalities, states, counties are making gambling available because they're looking to gambling revenue to try to fill their coffers.
Because often schools or whatever get some money when people gamble.
Precisely.
Now, David, does the House always win? In other words, are the 86% of us who do gamble occasionally being stupid about it?
Yeah, not to put too fine a point on it. The latest numbers available suggest that we lose, and that's the operative word here, we lose about $100 billion a year when we go gambling. Well, somebody has to take it in, and typically it's going to be the House. The House edge on most games is going to mean that they will win the longer you play. Now, if you play a game like blackjack, the house edge is smaller, and so it's going to take you longer to lose your money. You play a game like Keno, and you might as well just walk up, hand them your money, and walk away because you got no chance.
What about the enjoyment we get out of doing something like March Madness? Is there an upside to it at all?
I'd say the upside is the entertainment value. You have skin in the game. You're feeling good. You're a player. But more than likely, if you're gambling, you will lose. And especially with me when it comes to March Madness. I just can't ever get it.
Have you filled out your bracket yet?
I'm still working on it.
All right. LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And finally to Austin, Texas, where a weatherman named Albert Ramon stopped by a fourth grade classroom to talk about his job. And his lecture was so riveting that a student named Flint wrote him a thank you note of epic proportions. Dear Mr. Ramon, Flint writes, thank you for coming to our school and teaching us about the weather. Someday, when I become supreme ultra lord of the universe, you will live in my 200-story castle where unicorn servants will feed you donuts off their horns. He continues, you're more awesome than a monkey wearing a tuxedo made out of a bacon riding a cyborg unicorn. And in case you didn't know, that is pretty dang sweet. In Los Angeles, waiting for my unicorn servant to feed me some donuts, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.